Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is CNN Breaking News.
Welcome to our viewers here in the United States and around the world. I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room. We're following breaking news. The House of Representatives is now on track to impeach President Trump by Christmas. Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's directing the Judiciary Committee to draw up articles of impeachment against the president, a move Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff calls a significant milestone. The growing tension up on Capitol Hill clearly on display as Nancy Pelosi reacted angrily to a reporter who asked her if she hates President Trump, and she said, "Don't mess with me." Let's go straight to Capitol Hill. Our senior congressional correspondent, Manu Raju, is joining us. Manu, Pelosi's announcement, truly historic, and it's clear now that the Democrats are moving very quickly to impeach the president by Christmas.
Yeah, virtually no doubt the president will get impeached by the House. Ultimately, the question is, what do those articles of impeachment look like? How many Democrats ultimately vote for the articles of impeachment? And what we're hearing from our sources behind the scenes that the discussions are now centering around a handful of articles of impeachment that would include both abuse of power, also potentially bribery, that would also include obstruction of Congress for defying subpoenas, also discussion about obstruction of justice. There are indications, too, tonight, Wolf, that Democrats may be looking beyond just the Ukraine scandal, the president's handling of relations with Ukraine and whether he abused his office in his dealings with that country, to also include elements of the Mueller report, evidence that he may have obstructed justice in his efforts to thwart the investigation into his campaign and into his presidency, all of which will play out in the coming days, but a signal that the Democrats are moving very quickly and that they plan to make the case that the president's behavior in office does not fit his office and violates the oath that he took to office. Now, Nancy Pelosi earlier today made that historic announcement, said that she came to that decision reluctantly, but she claimed she had no choice but to go this route.
Today, I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment. I commend our committee chairs and our members for their somber approach to actions which I wish the president had not made necessary.
So as they draft those articles of impeachment, there are some key dates coming up in the days ahead, including on Friday, a deadline for the White House to respond to to the House Judiciary Committee request to ask if they want to participate in the upcoming proceedings. Already, the White House has said it wouldn't participate in the past hearing that happened yesterday, but the question is, will they participate in the one coming on Monday? That hearing will include the House Intelligence Committee's counsel, who will present the findings of its two-month investigation into Ukraine. Also, the House Judiciary Committee counsels also will present. We expect that to also include a significant discussion of the Mueller report in that Monday hearing. Now, after that, later in the week, we do expect that's when the articles of impeachment will likely be voted on in the House Judiciary Committee once they are formally introduced. That could take over a couple of days in that panel. In the following week, the week of the 16th, that's when the vote on the articles of impeachment could actually happen, and that would make President Trump just the third president in history to get impeached before the full Senate would take up a trial in January, where there's unlikely enough Republican support to pull him out for office. But that could take obviously some time. And Wolf, in the House, there are some Democrats who are opposed to moving forward. Two who voted against formalizing the impeachment inquiry proceedings are signaling they probably are not going to be on board this time. One of them, Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey, told me moments ago that the Democrats are on a, quote, rush to judgment. He said he preferred a censure vote instead. And one Republican senator, a congressman, who had kept open the option of voting for impeachment, signaling he may not, because his concern is that this was a rush to judgment, his concern that this was not, that he should have pursued those firsthand witnesses in court instead of going this route.
The Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, she was publicly outraged, Manu, today when a reporter asked her whether she hated President Trump. Watch this.
Do you hate the president, Madam Speaker? Because
I don't hate anybody.
I did not accuse you.
You did.
I asked a question.
You did.
Representative Collins yesterday suggested that the Democrats are doing this simply because they don't like the guy.
That has nothing to do with it. Let me just say this.
I think it's an important point.
I think the president is a coward when it comes to helping our kids who are afraid of gun violence. I think he is cruel when he doesn't deal with helping our dreamers, of which we're very proud. I think he's in denial about the climate crisis. However, that's about the election. This is about the election. Take it up in the election. This is about the Constitution of the United States and the facts that lead to the president's violation of his oath of office. And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president. And I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time. So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
Manu, you were there. You were sitting in the front row when she had that exchange with that reporter. Tell us about the reaction, the sense of what we all saw.
Yeah, I've never seen her that angry, and I have asked her some direct questions, pointed direct questions. She has scolded me on numerous occasions. I've gotten under her skin, but never quite like that. She was furious at that question, and partly because what the Democrats don't like the suggestion that this is personal in any way. They're just trying to make the case that they were forced to essentially their the president's actions force their hand to move forward on impeachment. So the notion that this is personal irritated her very clearly. But Republicans still believe the reason why they're going after the president is because they simply don't like him. Pelosi there very clearly irritated that suggestion.
Yeah, certainly. All right, Manu Raju up on Capitol Hill. Thank you. The White House, meanwhile, is blasting the decision to drop articles of impeachment against the president. Let's go to our White House correspondent, Boris Sanchez. Boris, the White House has been working behind the scenes to bolster its defense for the impeachment trial in the Senate. What are you learning?
Yeah, Wolf, with impeachment likely a foregone conclusion in the House, the White House is turning its focus to a trial in the Senate and what that might look like. Officials at the White House have told CNN that they plan to mount a robust defense of the president and to use the opportunity to bash Democrats and score political points. The president previewed some of that strategy today on Twitter. Take a look at what he wrote, arguing that Democrats don't have a case. The president writes, quote, "Therefore, I say, if you are going to impeach me, do it now, fast, so we can have a fair trial in the Senate and so that our country can get back to business. We will have Schiff, the Bidens, Pelosi, and many more testify and will reveal for the first time how corrupt our system really is." Well, if the president later tweeting that it's a good thing that Republicans have never been more united, notable considering that the president will lean on Senate Republicans to guide this process in a way that's favorable for the White House if he wants to see that roster of witnesses ultimately testify. That's part of the reason that the White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, members of his staff, members of the White House communications staff have all been meeting with Senate Republicans more and more frequently in recent weeks, really trying to iron out strategy, even though we've heard from sources that they have some disagreements, including what to do with that whistleblower. Republican lawmakers are weary of having that whistleblower who launched this entire impeachment investigation with that complaint testify. The president, though, appears to be confident. Today he was asked if he believed that impeachment would be a stain on his legacy. Listen to his response.
Are you worried, sir, about the stain that impeachment might have on your legacy?
No, not at all. It's a hoax. It's a hoax. It's a big fat hoax.
One more note, Wolf. We've heard from sources that President Trump has struggled to grasp the reality that he would be impeached, though he's likely come to accept that, as you heard there. White House counsel Pat Cipollone has been preparing for what will likely come in January. He has hired dozens of attorneys to prepare for this, Wolf.
Boris Sanchez, thanks very much. An important note to our viewers, Vice President Mike Pence's Chief of Staff, Mark Short. He'll be here in the Situation Room. He'll be joining me live in just a few minutes. In the meantime, let's get some more reaction right now. Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell is joining us, a member of both the Judiciary and Intelligence Committees. Congressman, thanks so much for coming in. Let me get your quick reaction to Nancy Pelosi, how angry she got to that reporter's question. You spent a lot of time with her behind the scenes, in front of the cameras. What did you think?
It was an unserious question for a serious leader. And I've seen, you know, Speaker Pelosi not rush to judgment on this. In fact, she's been reluctant and recognized that we have a constitutional duty to act. And I thought it was important when she pointed out on issues of, you know, climate change, gun violence, those are for the election. And she pointed to her bracelet. I don't know if you could see, but she was wearing spent shell casings that a mother of who had lost a son had given her to remember gun violence. She cares about these issues.
But you've seen that side of her behind closed doors.
Well, I think that reporter was out of line. It's out of line for Doug Collins to say that we hate the president. But her point was those are election issues. This is an issue of urgency on impeachment. And if we're going to honor our oath to the Constitution, we have to act now.
All right, let's talk about what Nancy Pelosi announced today. Historic moment earlier this morning when she said the House of Representatives has no choice but to proceed with articles of impeachment. Do you already know what those articles will contain?
Well, we know what the president's exposure is. We saw powerful, uncontradicted evidence during the Intelligence Committee hearings that he used his office, our taxpayer dollars, to ask a foreign government to cheat in an election. So that exposes him to abuse of power as it relates to extortion, also the enumerated offense of bribery, but also obstruction of Congress and his unwillingness to communicate any documents to Congress, as well as potentially, obstruction of justice. That's, I would say, the exposure. And now we have to figure out, what's the best way to explain that to the American people.
There's some serious disagreement among Democrats about whether articles of impeachment should strictly focus in on the Ukraine scandal or also bring in the Mueller report. What say you?
I think we need to keep it focused and keep it simple. Ukraine is an urgent matter in that the president invoked an upcoming election. Now, what he did with Russia shows his pattern of conduct, meaning that he's got priors. He asked a foreign government in the past to involve itself in an election, and he obstructed there. So it should at least inform us in how we talk to the public about what he did with Ukraine. I'll leave it to the speaker to decide if obstruction of justice will be included.
So the counsels of the lawyers for the House Intelligence Committee will be testifying Monday morning before the House Judiciary Committee on their information. The Republican lawyer and the Democratic lawyer, you'll be able to ask questions. All your colleagues in the Judiciary Committee will be able to ask questions. But do you expect any new information to emerge?
Well, you'll hear live testimony that, summarizes what we've heard. Also, there were call records that were not presented during the live testimony a few weeks back that kind of put into perspective this smear and clear scheme that the White House was running to get rid of Ambassador Yovanovitch.
So you think the Democratic counsel will talk about all of
yes.
that? That will be relatively. But will you have additional new information? You think we'll learn something that we don't already know from reading that long report?
I don't expect us to go outside the report, but we will try and bring it down to a local level that people can understand, meaning that if your local mayor told a police chief, hey, I know you need money to hire more cops, but first I need you to investigate my local political opponent. We all know that would be wrong. We're going to show that this is actually on a much grander scale. It's a lot of money asking a foreign government to get involved. And so I think you'll see us try and make everyday Americans understand why this matters.
So the Judiciary Committee presumably will vote on articles of impeachment sometime next week. And then the following week, there'll be a debate and a discussion on the floor of the House of Representatives. Do you know already how you're going to vote when it comes to articles of impeachment?
I'm giving the president a fairer process than he would give anyone else in that even though he wants us to actually do this now, I think he should have an opportunity to participate. But Wolf, if he has documents or witnesses that can clear him, now is the time to do it.
Because the committee gave him the White House a deadline of tomorrow to let them know whether or not he's going to cooperate.
And innocent people would come forward and cooperate. And if you're not innocent and you have something to hide in a procedure like this, I think we can conclude that you're not participating because you don't have anything that can help you.
A final question on Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal attorney, who's now, for some reason, it's unclear what's going on. He's back in Kiev, in Ukraine, and presumably he's working on what he sees as trying to gather more evidence against the Bidens. What's your reaction to that?
There are a lot of questions this week about, are we moving too quickly on this? And what I say to that is no, but who is moving quickly is the president's lawyer on his behalf, going back over to Ukraine to seek evidence to help a foreign government cheat for President Trump in an election. And that shows the urgency on our part to act. Sure, in a perfect world, a president would turn over documents, give us witnesses, and say that he'd abide by court rulings. We don't have a president that's doing that. And so we have to protect and secure the upcoming elections.
Congressman Swalwell, thanks so much for coming. And I know these are going to be very, very busy days for you and all your colleagues. And to our viewers, stay with us. We'll get insights on the Trump administration's plans to fight impeachment and survive a likely trial in the U.S. Senate. Mark Short, who served in the White House, he's currently the vice president of Mike Pence's chief of staff. There you see him. He's standing by live. We'll discuss. And later, Joe Biden lashes out after a question at an Iowa campaign event. Breaking news this hour, the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi asking the Judiciary Committee in the House to proceed with drawing up articles of impeachment against President Trump. Joining us now, Mark Short, the Chief of Staff to Vice President Mike Pence. Mark, thanks very much for coming in.
Well, thanks for having
former
me.
CNN contributor as well. Just want to make sure that we let our viewers know about that. So the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, she said today the Democrats, in her words, have no choice but to move forward with impeachment because, in her words, the president's actions have seriously violated the Constitution. What do you say?
Well, I heard her also say, ironically, that she's doing this in defense of democracy. Well, if the reality is that for the last 3 years, they've been trying to overturn the will of the American people. What they're trying to do is actually take away the votes of the American people. This whole impeachment has been a sham. What they've tried to prove, there is no proof of. The reality is that they wouldn't allow us to provide counsel present for witnesses in the initial hearings. They wouldn't allow us to present our own witnesses. They wouldn't allow us to see evidence. And so it's been a sham throughout. It's been a process they've been trying to do from the very beginning. I don't think it's a surprise, but I think it sets a very dangerous precedent.
Well, there's a deadline tomorrow, as you know, for the White House to either let the House Judiciary Committee know yes or no whether the White House wants to participate in a serious way. What's going to be the answer?
I think I'll leave that answer to our White House counsel, Pat Cipollone. But the reality is that it's almost like showing up for a verdict after they've had a sham process. So I think we look forward to being able to provide evidence if it gets to the Senate.
Here's what I don't understand. If the president has nothing to hide, it was a perfect phone call with the president of Ukraine and all of that, what's the problem? Why not cooperate? Why not provide the documents? Why not let individuals go before the committees and testify? What's the problem?
Well, this whole began with a whistleblower report based upon a phone call. The president gave the transcript.
The rough transcript.
Well, if it's the transcript.
It's a memorandum, it says.
It's the transcript conversation. You have other people who've served intelligence committees who will tell you that's exactly the way the transcript is always done.
Right. But it's not verbatim necessarily because there's no audio tape, presumably.
The transcript was provided for all the American people to read.
But they specifically say on page one, this is not a transcript.
It has been corroborated by multiple people. Wolf, because their transcripts are produced, right, and they all are saying the same.
Let's say it's precise, for all the American people to read
for themselves. So the notion that it's like, why not come forward? We've provided them with the entire transcript for them to see.
But if there's nothing to hide, why not cooperate? Why not let various officials testify and let the documents come forward? What's the big deal?
The House Democrats have not in any way tried to provide a fair process here, Wolf. And they've been looking to have this verdict from the very beginning. As I said, they have been trying to overturn the will of the American people from the very start. And I think it's an extremely dangerous precedent to set for future presidents. Are you, in essence, going to say that if we don't like what the American people decided, we're going to have a political trial to overturn that and impeach a president?
In the House Intelligence Committee report, the vice president has mentioned 60 times, your boss, and you've refuted some of the suggestions of his involvement. You issued a statement saying the vice president never had a conversation with Gordon Sondland about investigating the Biden's Burisma or the conditional release of financial aid to Ukraine based upon potential investigations. Sondland, for his part, as all of us remember, he didn't testify. There was actually a conversation. He said that he told the vice president the aid was linked to investigations, and he said Pence simply nodded.
Right. So to show what a fraud this whole investigation has been, the reality is that what he testified to is he said that there was a pre-briefing before the meeting. That was in a secure environment. I was a part of that. I asked everybody else who was in that, and nobody remembers Sondland ever saying such a thing, which is why we believe his allegation is entirely false. But, Wolf, again, the Democrat witnesses who came forward themselves said in every conversation the vice president had, in his meetings he had, he never raised Burisma, he never raised the Bidens, he never raised specific investigations.
You think Sondland is lying?
Yet the Democrat report itself alleges that these are things the vice president participated in and contributed to, when their own witnesses said it didn't happen.
Was Sondland lying to Congress?
I'm not going to suggest that he's lying. I'm simply saying he's mistaken.
But in his testimony?
Yes.
Yeah, but if you're under oath, that's a serious suggestion.
I'm telling you it didn't happen. That's what I said at the time. And as I say, everyone else who was in that meeting said it didn't happen.
What is Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal lawyer, doing in Ukraine right now? What's up with that?
He's the president's personal lawyer. I don't know what Rudy Giuliani does, Wolf.
But is that smart for him to be going over there? He's clearly trying to dig up more dirt on the Bidens.
You know, you say he's digging up dirt. I don't know that that's what the case is. I think that
he's made that very clear. That's his main goal.
I think there was a sense that, for a long time, Democrats did actually get
foreign interference in our elections when they got the Steele dossier and they work with foreign governments to dig up dirt on Donald Trump. When this administration looks to say, hey, you should look into what foreign interference was, all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, we no longer have interest in what foreign interference in our election was. So, you know, to the extent that Rudy Giuliani is looking into that, I don't mind. But I honestly, I don't have, you know, intel as to what Rudy Giuliani is doing for the president.
What about the appearance of him showing up in Ukraine right now in the midst of all of this? Is that smart?
Well, if I think that the appearance that I think the American people have is they're wondering, why isn't Congress doing things they should be doing? What's happening to trade deals? What's happening to drug pricing legislation? What's happening to infrastructure legislation? They want to know, why is Congress wasting its time on this sham investigation when an election is 11 months off? Why are they trying to overturn the will of the
American
people?
But it's happening. There's about to be articles of impeachment against the president. I assume you're not going to cooperate with the House of Representatives. I'm talking about the White House, not you personally. But what about when there's a Senate trial? What's the strategy?
I think that you're going to see a very wholesome defense of the president when it gets to the Senate, because we believe there'll be a fair process there.
And when the president keeps tweeting that if there's a trial in the Senate, he wants, you know, Hunter Biden to testify, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, all these individuals, is that realistic?
I don't know. I mean, I look right now, the current situation is you have documents you've read about the vice president. The vice president's son is currently serving the United States Marine Corps. When Joe Biden was vice president, I guess his son was earning $50,000 a month, $50,000 a month for a corrupt energy company in Ukraine. Doesn't seem like there's much interest in investigating that.
He had another son, Bo Biden, who was serving in Iraq as well, you know, unfortunately
admirably
passed away.
So, admirably so, Wolf. But, you know, I think that there is a double standard in the way that these investigations are going.
You say nothing is going on. Let's talk a little bit about something that I know you personally are working on, the U.S., Mexico, Canada, the trade agreement. Some of the Democrats are now suggesting this might be passed in the House of Representatives by Christmas. What are you hearing? Because I know you're working hard. You're a former legislative director over at the White House.
We're hopeful it gets passed, Wolf. The reality is that, you know, there's certain estimates from the International Trade Commission of the number of jobs we create. The upper end of those estimates is 500,000 jobs and up to $1 trillion.
The USMCA you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, sir. And so there's a huge opportunity for the American people. This was negotiated over a year ago with Mexico and Canada. Congress said every opportunity to pass it.
So what's the major stumbling block that you're hearing from the Democratic leadership right now?
Candidly, I don't think there's a stumbling block on policy. The reality is that Nancy Pelosi wants to hold it hostage because she wants to keep her moderate Democrats in line to vote on impeachment. So it's in essence a way, it's her own quid pro quo to say, I need your vote on impeachment and I'll give you a vote that helps you in your district.
But it might pass by Christmas.
Well,
coincidentally, the majority leader in the House says that's possible.
Yeah, sure. Well, coincidentally, it sounds like there's going to be an impeachment vote before Christmas, too. That's my point, is they've been tied together. She's leveraging one against the other.
All right. Well, there's going to be articles of impeachment, we assume, by Christmas, and approval of the USMCA in the House of Representatives by Christmas
as well.
Let's
hope we get the trade deal done.
Mark, thanks very much for coming in. Appreciate it. All right, stay with us for more on today's historic breaking news. The House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing the Democrats will, in fact, move forward on articles of impeachment against the president. Will they be based on the Mueller report as well as the president's dealings with Ukraine? We're counting down to tonight's CNN town hall with the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Today, she announced the House has no choice but to move forward with articles of impeachment against the president of the United States. Let's ask our experts and analysts to discuss. Gloria, this is truly a historic moment.
It surely is, and I think Nancy Pelosi treated it as such. She came up to the lectern, and she was full of solemnity and reverence for the Constitution and the democracy in which we live, and then tried to make the point that this wasn't about politics, but it was above politics, until she got asked whether she hated Donald Trump, and then said to the journalist, how dare you even ask that question, and went on about that. And she knows what a large step this is. And we all know, and she knows, that she wasn't always for this process. But after the Ukraine call was released, she changed her mind. And I think she understands the political peril this may place some Democrats in, but felt she had no other choice but then to do this.
Laura Coates, you're a legal analyst. These articles of impeachment, what are they going to include?
Well, based on what you're talking about, Gloria, and her statements today, she seemed to be referencing things of the past as well as the 2016 election, mm-hmm. which led me to believe that she's probably looking at the obstruction of justice aspect, which should be no surprise to anyone, given the fact that there has been stonewalling effort after effort right now to try to evade having Congress have a fruitful and comprehensive investigation. That, and of course, the abuse of power umbrella about having to compromise national security for one's reelection campaign.
You know, she had a rather nasty exchange with a reporter after her news conference earlier today. Let me play this excerpt.
Sure.
Do you hate the president, Madam Speaker?
I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president. And I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time. So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
Okay, a few things. One, it's interesting in that, to Gloria's point, there was clearly an attempt to be very solemn and very above politics to the extent you can be when you're announcing that they're going to move forward on articles of impeachment. Two, she's usually very disciplined. She does not usually, Donald Trump will be like, hey, anybody got any more questions, right? Whereas she, once she starts walking away from the podium, she usually just ignores it. Three, I think the question was purposely provocative. I mean, you don't say, do you hate the president? That's not really a seeking an honest answer question. And then the last thing I would say is, I think it speaks to, there is an undercurrent. You saw this with Joe Biden today. There's an undercurrent. There's a frustration and anger that's just there. It's in the public. I think it's in the politicians. This is a very difficult, emotional process for everyone involved in it. I think it flares up in moments like this. And unfortunately, unless you like that, which I don't think any of us really do, you're going to see more of it because it's not going to get more friendly.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've been doing a lot of reporting, Sarah, on Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal attorney. He's back now in Ukraine, trying to build some sort of counter narrative to all of what's going on. He says this: the American people will learn that Biden and other Obama administration officials contributed to the increased level of corruption in Ukraine between 2014 to 2016. This evidence will all be released very soon. What's going on here?
I think what's going on in so much as you can ever read into what Rudy Giuliani is doing, is he's trying to clean up the original mess he made by perhaps making an even bigger mess by going back to Ukraine and also by going to Budapest and talking to a bunch of former prosecutors who have reputations for being essentially corrupt among former officials, among current officials, among experts in that region, and now bringing back a host of information that he, again, wants the American public to trust. These are the same people who were peddling the conspiracy theories about Joe Biden, the same people who peddled these lies about former ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, the same people who are peddling the idea that, no, it was Ukraine who meddled in the 2016 election. So I'm not sure why Rudy Giuliani thinks that the American public should take all of this seriously this time, when the last time he got involved in all of this, you know, and put us to the point where
I mean, since when did America's mayor become like the leading player in a soap opera? I tell you, this is more about fight than facts.
Yeah.
If you look at facts in the world I used to live in, you might be talking about significant things like North Korea, like whatever happened with the Iran nuclear deal, whatever happened with going after the Saudis for murdering somebody in Turkey, whatever happened with talking about the wall. Instead, we get an ongoing drama led by the leading soap opera actor that's going to lead nowhere, sort of like the impeachment process. I think this is just a diversion, because the real story is if the Republicans and Democrats wanted to have a serious conversation, the president made a stupid mistake. Maybe we should have censured him if we had a compromise in this country. That's not going to happen. But this is a soap opera that's going nowhere.
All right, everybody stand by. We have an important reminder for our viewers. The House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will take questions on impeachment, the 2020 election, a lot more in a live CNN town hall moderated by Jake Tapper. That's later tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, only here on CNN. We'll be right back. We're back with our experts and our analysts. And Gloria, listen to this extraordinary moment that the former Vice President Joe Biden had out there today on the campaign trail. Listen to this exchange.
We all know Trump has been messing around in Ukraine over there, holding their foreign aid for them to come up saying they're going to investigate you. We know all about that crap. And he's no backbone. We know that for that. But you, on the other hand, sent your son over there to get a job and work for a gas company that he had no experience with gas or nothing, in order to get access for the president. So you're selling access to the president just like he was.
So you're a damn liar, man. That's not true. And no one has ever said that. No one has done that.
I see it on the TV.
You see it on the TV. No, I know you do. And by the way, that's why I'm not sedentary. I don't like it up and no, let him go. Let him go. Look, the reason I'm running is because I've been around a long time and I know more than most people know. And I can get things done. That's why I'm running. And you want to check my shape on it, let's do push-ups together here, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take a 90 step. Number two. No one has said my son has done anything wrong, and I did not on any occasion. And no one has ever said it. Not
I didn't
one
say you were doing anything wrong.
I set up my son to work in an oil company. Isn't that what you said? Get your words straight, Jack.
That's what I hear on MSNBC.
You don't hear that on MSNBC. You did not hear that at all. What you heard? Look, okay, I'm not going to get in an argument with you, man.
Well, I don't want
to. Well, yeah, you do. But look, here's the deal. Here's the deal.
It looks like you don't have any
more backbone than Trump does. Let him talk.
Any other questions?
Yeah, all right. I'm not voting
for you.
Well, I knew you weren't, man. You think I thought you'd stand up and vote for me? You're too old to vote for me.
What do you think?
Well, that's a Joe Biden we don't see. Tempers are short. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden's son was attacked, and Biden was attacked. He was said, you sent your son over there and got him a job with a Ukrainian oil company, and that you sold access to the president. All of that, as we know, is, to use Biden's word, malarkey and garbage. But I think Biden, to attack the questioner that way, shows a lack of discipline that I think he needs to have. I think people... supporters of his, people who might vote for him, would rather see that anger directed toward Donald Trump than somebody in the audience. It's not a great picture, but the passion is something that I think his supporters feel have been missing from his campaign. He just has to channel it somewhere else.
He takes the Hunter Biden stuff extremely personally. Understandably, it's his son, but almost too personally there. Honestly, I think the questioner gives him a little bit of an out. The question I think Joe Biden's going to have to find an answer for is this. Your son was on the board of a Ukrainian natural gas company. Not saying he did anything wrong, but he got paid $50,000 a month for that job. What were his qualifications for that, other than that his last name was Biden?
And your son has admitted that it was poor judgment to take that job.
Correct.
Nobody has found that anyone in the Biden family did anything illegal. But if Hunter Biden can say, I expressed poor judgment, Joe Biden should have a better answer.
Everybody stand by. There's more breaking news coming into the Situation Room. A new satellite image reveals activity at a previously dismantled North Korean test site. Breaking news, a new satellite image reveals activity at a previously dismantled North Korean test site for powerful rocket engines. Also today, North Korea complained about President Trump by once again calling Kim Jong-un Rocket Man. CNN's Brian Todd has more on the increasing tensions.
North Korea's supreme leader sending signals tonight that he could be gearing up for a major move. Kim Jong-un is photographed on a white stallion galloping on the revered Mount Paektu. His wife, Ri Sol-ju, accompanies him to a snow-banked stream. They sit with comrades at a campfire. North Korean propaganda has made dubious claims that Kim's father was born on this mountain, that his grandfather led the resistance against the Japanese there. But analysts say what is true is that Kim often goes to Mount Paektu when he's about to make an important decision.
He goes up there to deliberate. There's no distractions. I mean, we could look at this as the equivalent of a president that goes up to Camp David to confer with his aides and advisors.
Other signs of a buildup to something big? Kim's regime has scheduled a rare, large-scale Workers' Party meeting in late December. His New Year's Day address, often an occasion for a major announcement, is right after that. And for the past couple of months, North Korea has issued a string of threatening statements toward the U.S. and launched a series of short-range projectiles, analysts say just to intimidate. One threat coming this week from one of Kim's top diplomats, demanding U.S. action on nuclear weapons talks by the end of the year or else, dismissing the talks so far as nothing but a foolish trick hatched to influence the U.S. elections, saying it is entirely up to the U.S. what Christmas gift it will select to get. What sort of gift could the dictator be threatening to send?
they're implying that they may resort to nuclear testing and long-range missile testing again.
President Trump has made light of the provocations.
I like sending rockets up, doesn't he? That's why I call him Rocket Man. I have confidence in him. I like him. He likes me. We have a good relationship. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Some analysts are fed up with the recent North Korean threats and warn the president that continually brushing them off comes at a price.
The United States should not put itself in the position of being blackmailed by a small power like North Korea. So I worry that President Trump, out of some feeling of desperation, might cut a bad deal with North Korea, providing sanctions relief in exchange for worthless concessions on denuclearization.
Analysts say at the moment, Trump may need a nuclear deal with North Korea more than Kim does, and that the dictator, who they say closely watches American newscasts, senses Trump's political vulnerabilities at home.
He knows that Donald Trump is going into a difficult election cycle, and he also knows that he has the power to make that more difficult for Trump.
Adding to the concern over the diplomatic tension, President Trump said South Korea is willing to pay hundreds of millions of dollars more to share the cost of defending South Korea. A South Korean diplomat told CNN Trump's comments startled their side and reiterated that the negotiations over that cost sharing are still going on. Analysts say that difference in the narrative between the U.S. and South Korea is going to appeal to Kim Jong-un, who's always eager to drive a wedge between the U.S. and South Korea. Brian Todd, CNN, Washington.
Up next, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi orders articles to be drawn up against President Trump.
Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Now streaming exclusively on Max, a new CNN flash doc about the album that has Nashville talking, Call Me Country. Beyoncé and Nashville's Renaissance. Watch it at max.com/callmecountry. Max subscription required.